हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so now Krishna has defined how by working according to your duty, you'll come to the transcendental platform. Right? So because Arjuna's question in the beginning was, how does such a person behave? How does he act? So now he's explained how by performing one's duties, one can, you know, come to that perfectional platform. So then the natural point will be this next point. That if he doesn't do his duties, then, you know, he's not actually taking seriously instruction, because he did surrender. He did ask him to teach him, right? And, you know, he's been working out his questions and that on there. So it's already been made clear that not doing your duty and just going to the forest is not going to work, especially if it's premature and this one still has desires like that. 8:59. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. The Supreme Personality gives directions as to what is good and what is bad. And one simply has to act in Krishna consciousness to attain the perfection of life. No one can ascertain his destiny as the Supreme Lord can. Therefore, the best course is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and act. No one should neglect the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the order of the Spiritual Master, who is the representative of God. One should act unhesitatingly to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will keep one safe under all circumstances. Right? So Krishna has defined now what is good and what is bad. Right? So having done that, now you simply have to act according to that. So there's no speculation. So it's not a matter of whimsical. So you say unhesitatingly. Because it's not that it's blind faith. It's a matter of one has that faith and one has thought about it. There's been a logical presentation. It's Upanishad. So it's not a matter of just getting you enthused and then you're going to take up some ritualistic activity. This is one has been trained in the philosophy and showing how to discern between one situation and another. Right? In that, then one should take this up. Does that make sense? Yes.
But at the same time, we know that it's possible to just surrender at once.
It is, but the point is he's using the principle that the preaching is to Arjuna, he's a Madhyamadikari, right? Mm. And that he is following, you know, the path of Naishkarmya, right? So therefore, the second recommendation of the Lord. Because if it was the first recommendation, then everybody would say, okay, he could do that, we can't do that. You know, the gopis have done that, Muchukunda has done that, so the example is there. But now the point is we didn't do that. So now what are we going to do? So then the example is given of Arjuna, right? His complaint in the beginning, it will be neophyte, right? But we see is how he's dealing with understanding the philosophy, that's a madhyam. Right? He's looking at it maturely, asking very good questions. Right? So now it's a matter of, okay. So if you, yes.
It is also the Gita that Arjuna is acting like a madhyam.
Yeah, basically. Right. You see, he's steady, but at the same time is he's not functioning on the uttam platform. Because then if he's on the uttam platform, why do you need to explain any of this? like that, because that will already have been attained by, you know what I'm saying? That'll already be attained. So therefore, for us, then it's more practical that it's working from there, right? Because if it's the Kanista, then we'll say, oh, yeah, look at this guy. You know, so you have to put him in a position where he's not where you wouldn't feel inspired that I can follow this example, but at the same time, he shouldn't be in such a position that one would feel superior, right? Because the Madhyama wouldn't feel superior, but the Kanista might, right? Because it's a material social standing and other considerations. So, you know, my situation is better than his situation. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's a nice platform. Yes.
Since our class on Tuesday morning, I got like completely confused. What is good? What is bad? What is morality? What is religiosity? What is pious? You know, like I feel like all my thoughts, my values are changing after this class, and I can't get even in the proper perspective.
Okay. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is this progress or is this we're going back, sliding backwards here? Okay, well at least we shook things up, right? See, the point is this, is what's good is in connection with Krishna. What's bad is not in connection with Krishna, right? What's pious is what's in connection with Krishna. What's impious is not connected to Krishna. Real morality is therefore what's connected to Krishna, and immorality is what's not connected to Krishna, right? Real dharma is what's connected to Krishna, and adharma means what's not taking the nature of something and connecting it to Krishna. You understand? That's the Bhagavatam understanding.
Okay. I mean, that makes it very easy, but I find it not so easy to deal with such things, because maybe in my lifespan, I developed certain values which all got shaken now because it's not really a value. It's like
no. What's the point? Is as we said, something's only. So the point is okay. Person A should not run off with person B's wife. Okay. Now, if you ask most devotees, they will say it's not good, right? And so. Well, you probably have to at least socially say all devotees would say it's not good, right? You know, except for the guy who ran off with him. Except for, you know, man A, right? You know, he probably will have some excuse, right? But other than him, everybody will say it's not good, right? So, but what we're pointing out is not that that's arbitrary, that it's not, that's maybe good or maybe not in that. What we're saying is the reason that we would say it's not good should be based on Krishna's instructions, not on Christian instructions. You know what I'm saying? Or other modern religions. But even that's better than most. Most will take it from the sectarian element that the reason I don't do it is just not nice. You know, because we're all supposed to be nice and good, therefore it's not nice and good. But that's not enough. That itself is not devotional. You know what I'm saying? But Krishna is saying, perform your duty. So your duty is connected with your wife, not someone else's wife. So to run off with, you know, the other guy's wife, that's against, you know, performing your duty, which Krishna recommends. You know what I'm saying? So that would be whimsical. And as we said, the whimsical service can't be offered to Krishna. Does that make sense? So all we're saying is the basis. In other words, we may have a basis of good and bad, and you know that's steered us in the correct course. But at some point, we have to see is that even that has to be given up. That it's not that those activities are given up; it's that the perspective that it stands as good or bad on its own, separate from Krishna. Does that make sense? Because if we say sarva dharmam parityaja, means all the varieties of religion that are there, meaning on the platform of the physical platform, the emotional platform, the intellectual platform, all that has to be given up to surrender to Krishna. Right? In the beginning, we use those, we engage those. But ultimately, it has to be that Krishna is important. And because Krishna is important, therefore, then the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual platform are engaged in his service. rather than we are on the physical, intellectual, and emotional platform, and from that platform we connect that to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? That's the first stage. Because then it's about us and our conditioning. But we're connecting to Krishna, so it's Krishna conscious, it's good, it's progressive. But ultimately it's got to come to the point where I, as the soul, just want to serve Krishna. So I will serve the Lord with whatever facilities I have in whatever situation I'm in. So if you're in the spiritual world, you use a spiritual body and spiritual surroundings. We're in the material world, so we use the material body and the material surroundings. Does that make sense? But Krishna's first. Because in the other way, we're starting with ourselves first and connecting it to Krishna. But this way, it's no, Krishna's first, and then we're connecting whatever we have to Him. Does that make sense? So it doesn't mean that the standard changes. It just means what's the basis of authority, that changes. So instead of it being just, I feel like that, or my mommy told me, or, you know, I read it in a book somewhere, or like that, it's got to be that Krishna has said.
Is that? I found we have so much designations and conditionings that it's really like, it got shaky, you know, like...
Okay, well, as long as you pull through, because the whole idea of the analyzations is to create the shakiness, right? So it's not a bad thing, but it's because otherwise we just go on and thinking, yeah, everything's just normal, and like, because otherwise then it comes down to, these are the same points that we've been hearing again and again, right? I mean, Gita's not that big, so if you have a class every night, so every 2 years you've gone through the whole Gita, you know, basically. No? So then that means we will heard these points a lot. But we'll just say, okay, that's there. What's the new thing? You know, somebody's talking from some Purana or is doing an Ayurveda. Oh, okay, that's new, you know? Like that. Because if we say, you have all these things, devotees, and you have so many seminars, someone's doing Ayurveda, someone's doing, you know, the social conscience, position of Krishna consciousness in modern society, and you know something on Grihastha ashram and you and all these things like that. And we have somebody Bhagavad Gita third chapter. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, well, hey, come on, you know, let's does that make sense? So the idea is a matter of getting more of an appreciation of what depth all this is going, because we're saying Upanishads, we're meaning the Brahman platform, like that. But the point is you can access that platform from, you know, whatever one's position is in society. That's what's different about the Gita Upanishad than the others. The others are saying that, but it will, generally speaking, always be interpreted to mean application and renunciation. Means in the external physical form of renunciation. But what it's actually meaning is renunciation, meaning the result is not for us. And that result's not for us means it's ultimately not for us. Not that it's not for me now, but later it will be. You know? Like that. No, it's not for me, you know, eternally. It's for Krishna. So, Gita Upanishad is bringing out that aspect. You know, because now we're taking a householder and this and that and his situation, family, you know, family feud, you know, pretty ordinary, like that, you know. Thought we could see it, you know, it gives rise to all kinds of nice storylines, you know, so we could create a serial, you know, like that. You know, does that make sense? So does that kind of put things okay?
I think that people will go right.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, we're sorry if it was unsettling, but that's actually the whole point of this. Like that. So now, whether anybody else got unsettled and then worked it out, or they didn't get unsettled at all, or it's, you know, water off a duck's back, you know, a swan's back, you know, like that, or... Does that make sense? So it means you think, otherwise why would one be unsettled? So that's good. So just keep thinking until it gets settled. Right? You know. And okay? Yeah? Okay. Okay, here it says, no one should neglect the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the order of the Spiritual Master, who is the representative of God. One should act unhesitatingly to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will keep one safe under all circumstances. So the safety one is missing is because we've now just figured out that all our material concepts won't keep us safe. Right? So only by working under Guru and Krishna, that will keep us safe. So it's just a matter of accepting that, and then the transition works very nicely. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, you know, we've considered that the material is our safety, and then we're connecting that to Krishna. So we're safe, and plus we have Krishna consciousness. But what Krishna is trying to point out is that the material isn't safe. You know, hasn't been, isn't now, won't be. Right? So the only safe position is Krishna. Because this is a reflection. It's not the real thing. So when we say the really real thing, we mean the spiritual realm. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes. It stands on the way from us being neglectful of the order.
Oh, what's
sometimes?
Sometimes, or even, you know, what stands in the way if there's a person who happens to sometimes be neglectful? Right? That better? Yeah. Okay. Not me, of course.
I have a friend.
Like Arjuna, he's speaking for others. You know, better. Yeah. Okay. So. Neglectful is just we become, I mean, means there's the element that neglectful means we're doing something else. So something else is considered a value. So that's what the four Kumaras were pointing out, is no other subject matter but Krishna consciousness should be seen as primary. Right? Only Krishna consciousness should be seen as primary. Everything else is secondary. That means every other subject matter should be seen in relationship to Krishna consciousness. You know, whether it's secondary or tertiary or quaternary, it doesn't matter. Just it's somehow in line with Krishna consciousness. Then if we're neglectful, it means that we have been distracted by those secondary topics. Right? So we're doing, so it's just a matter of seeing that, and then by practice putting ourselves back on track. So that's why the importance of studying and, you know, preaching, associating with devotees, that then we're always reminded of what the standard is. But instead of just reading it, we should try to understand it. Right? And then understanding it, we should try to practice it. That'll give realization. Right? So if we're always in touch with it, then that will make it easier. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, we just fall into a pattern, you know, a habit. And that's what conditioning means. You become conditioned to a certain pattern. You know, you ring the bell and the dogs start salivating, right? You know, unless, of course, they're bulldogs, they're already salivating, right? You know, so the experiment wouldn't actually work properly. So,
like, they have rabies.
Yeah, they have rabies, and so they're salivating. Yeah, it's like that. But that's more foaming. I would say that's a little that different. You know.
Distinguish.
Yeah, distinguish. You know, so one, it's an actual psychological reaction, and the other one, it's a, you know, how you say, it's a medical condition, right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? Right. So one has to. That's the idea, is that the material world anyway is going to wake us up from our comfortable patterns. But the point is when that happens, then we should turn to Krishna. You know, we shouldn't, like yesterday, give an example, somebody might blame Krishna. Like that. No, it's not. We're not supposed to be comfortable here. We can say, no, but God should make it that. Why should he make it? It's just like saying, no, but I want to live in the toilet. You know, why does it smell bad? Why can't God make it smell nice? You know, why do I have to always buy air freshener? Can't God just make it naturally nice? No, that's the way bathrooms are. You know what I'm saying? So the material world is basically a large bathroom, right? Right? And so we're not supposed to stay here. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point, right? So we spend as minimal time as possible, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. 1860. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But, compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. So he's saying, you're now under illusion, you're not willing to act according to the direction, but you will act what's according to what's your nature. So now the point is you're going to act anyway according to your nature. So why not just take that nature and connect it to Krishna? Since you're going to do it anyway. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So same endeavor will be there. There's no change in endeavor. It's just now the point is, do you get spiritual benefit for that or only temporary material benefit? Right? And what he was discussing before, he was going to go against his duty, so then he wouldn't really get any benefit at all. He's running away from his duties. So that's the mode of passion. So mode of passion means it'll always end in misery. Right? And he's doing it because of lack of understanding, so there's the mode of ignorance. Right? And that never works out good. Right? Like that. But at least the thing, mode of passion, it may work out for a while good, but in the end it's not good. But mode of ignorance is never good in the beginning, middle, or end. Right? You know, so it's just to be avoided. Right? It never works out. Like that, yes.
How one's nature is formed, like?
How nature is formed.
Born of your own nature.
Born of your own nature means what is your mentality from previous lifetimes? Then that's going to create what's this lifetime. Because the mind is in a particular, he explains it earlier, the mind is in a particular state. So according to that, there's means of course there's the desire to control and enjoy, right? So how you want to control and how you want to enjoy through the senses, you know, what does that look like? Then those kind of senses will group around the mind, right? And now having that particular kind of senses, then that requires a certain body for those senses to fit into. You know what I'm saying? You know, does that make sense? You know, you want a, you know, 7-liter engine. You can't put it on a bicycle. You know, like that. So the particular form of the body goes with what it is you're looking for. Does that make sense?
And again, we want to change the nature, so our activities...
No, we're not trying to change the nature. We're trying to engage the nature, purify the nature. You can't change the nature. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like we say that one, you know, the sadhu, he's like a, he moves around like a restless child. So does that mean that now all the sadhus turn back into little kids, you know, and start the sacrifices, this old guy there, you know, and by the time, you know, he finished and when they hand him the danda, then, and everybody's wondering, why is the danda so small? Like that. And then as they give and he, you know, like, you know, and they, you know, he comes, little dinky pieces of cloth, and by the time he ends, then, you know, he start getting farther and farther down until, you know, he's this big and stuff like that. And, you know. Does that make sense? So it's not, you're not changing the nature. You're purifying the nature. You know what I'm saying?
If one is not purifying,
then one's not going anywhere.
So it is changing the nature, like changing.
No,
the
you can't change the nature. Like, can you make a dog into a cat, or a cat into a bird?
Like a human being, he can get a body of a dog in the next life.
Yeah, but that's next life. Then he acts like a dog. But this lifetime, you act like whatever is your nature.
So how does this change? Why?
Why it changes? Because the mentality changes.
It's based on desiring.
It's based on, it means, yes, based on desire. So whatever state the mind's in, that's what you get. The gross is a manifestation of the subtle. That's why then, if the subtle doesn't take it up, you start with the gross. And because the gross and subtle are connected, then you start to affect the subtle. Right? Because the consciousness is connected to the subtle, therefore, then you can try to access the consciousness.
Yeah, so the nature is changing.
No, the nature is staying the same. Like, you're in this body now, okay, and then you're trying to do devotional service as a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Does that mean, you know, one day we walk into your room and then there's a cowherd boy sitting there, or, you know, an older gopi or a younger gopi, or maybe a cow, or, you know, you were reading about Lord Brahma and that, you know, say, I'd just be a blade of grass. We walk in, there's a blade of grass sitting there, you know, turning the page. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? You understand? Think about it. You're just saying the word. You have to think, what does that mean? Nature won't change. You're changing the consciousness. Right? You understand? I have a kitchen, and that kitchen has been used for not cooking for Krishna. So now, if I'm going to cook for Krishna, I have to change the kitchen? No, nothing has to change. Right? It's just a matter of adding Krishna. So the nature doesn't have to change. You just have to add Krishna. Does that make sense? You understand? Because you're taking nature to be something that's changed. Nature means that which is inherent that you can't change. You know what I'm saying? Sugar is sweet. That's the way it is. But it hasn't been used. They're putting the sugar into the tea out at the chai stand outside, right? Does that make sense? Now, to use it in Krishna's service, then you have to change the nature where it's not sweet anymore, right? And then you can use it for Krishna. You understand? It's simply consciousness.
So, like Arjun's nature, by nature, he is a Kshatriya.
Yes.
So, now he is engaging his Kshatriya spirit in Krishna consciousness.
Right.
So then, he will go back to Godhead. So there,
right,
he will not be acting as a Kshatriya. So it will be different.
But that's back to Godhead. We're talking about here. This is the process of upliftment. We're not talking about what he's going to do in the spiritual world.
Like when the consciousness is completely changed, like a pure devotee, then...
You're mixing up consciousness with your mind. See, this is things. You're thinking that what I feel, that's the consciousness. No, the consciousness is whether those feelings are towards Krishna or not.
So this nature is at the level of the mind.
Nature means the mind, yeah.
Yeah.
But the name means you can also say by nature you're also meaning servant of God. So therefore by nature you're going to have to do service to God. And his conditioned nature is that of a Kshatriya. So you take the conditioned nature of Kshatriya and use that to serve Krishna as the soul. Is that okay? Did I get through? Yeah. Okay, so he'll act all the same, right? Because here he's saying, by your nature, you'll have to be engaged in warfare. So he's talking about the conditioned, like that. Okay, if one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everything is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature, and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. So it's like you either engage the modes or you will be controlled by them. Right? So engaging means you use it for Krishna. Right? If not, you will do the same activity but not for Krishna. Because illusion means you're doing activities that are what are activities of a human being, but you're not doing it for Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. So all you're doing is changing that instead of being controlled by the modes, now you engage yourself in the Lord's service. So the nature is controlled by the modes, but you're not controlled by the modes. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? You're doing something that you've become expert at. You're sitting there typing away. Are you thinking each time this finger, this finger, this finger? This? No. So who's doing that? You're not doing it. So the modes of nature are doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, you're sitting there and you know, you think no one's around and someone touches you on the shoulder and you go, what? And like this, like that. Who did that? Did you do that? You know, you're sitting there and thinking in all directions and everything, what anyone comes from like that, and this guy's walking there and he put his left foot forward and then if he did this, I can do that. Is that what you were thinking? No. It's the modes of nature. Right? So now it's a matter of, do you use that in Krishna's service or you're just going along with whatever the modes come up with? That's the idea. Are you controlled by them or are you engaging them? So it's either you engage them or they'll engage you. It's one or the other, right? You know, you either hit him in the head or he'll hit you in the head. You know, it's simple. That's the way it is.
So our subconscious, is that just the modes?
So, as our subconscious, is that the modes? Can be. That's what you're thinking about. If you're thinking about Krishna all the time, then no. That's just consciousness. But if you're thinking about all varieties of things, then yes, that's the most. Yes.
Mentally retarded people, the thing that you explained, that they think about, you know, here's somebody there, what's their problem? It's not the mode that they're not working properly for them.
No, but they're under the mode because their security or the defense is the strong thing. So they're under that control. But we're using this as examples that things are happening that you're not even thinking about, but they work. So who's doing that? But even there, for that person to do that, you know, is they had to spend so much time practicing, and they're not conscious of it when it happens. You know, because then you're talking about, you know, how you say, you know, you learn everything, you forget everything. You know what I'm saying? You know, I said, learn it all, forget it all. I think that's the saying, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? So they're just experiencing it. They're on the platform of, what do you call it? A paroksha. They're functioning. You know, and then they'll be called a master in that. But the point is it's still, if it's connected to the Lord, then you become uplifted by it. Because the modes are going to take care of it anyway. Now it's a matter of whether you're controlled by them so that your values and everything are there, or whether that is just you're engaging those elements in the Lord's service. Right? You know what I'm saying? So we just use it as an example on the level there where we don't know what's going on. But, you know what I'm saying? In other words, speaking to the sense that I am the doer, and as does that make sense? To get the idea across. Okay, but one who voluntarily engages himself, right? Still, the modes of nature will carry out the work, but you're volunteering that to be involved in it for Krishna. Because we have to remember, the external energy is a devotee of Krishna. So she's not going to complain that you're voluntarily using that for Krishna. I think his spring, it would go farther. I think he's got a better spring.
I think you left him.
Modes of nature.
Wasn't me.
Who killed the cow?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point. Just an instrument, hey, you know. Hey, who took my rasgulla? It was just an instrument. The modes took it. Okay. So when you voluntarily do and engage, then it's, one becomes glorious, right? So it's not a problem. Maya doesn't have a problem that you connect it to the Lord.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Right. So that one becomes glorious because it's connected to the Lord. Right? That's the whole point. So it's not the situation, the condition, that. Is it connected to the Lord? Right? Coming in parampara, bona fide, not whimsically connected like before. You know, it's actually a bona fide, you know, proper, authorized connection. Does that make sense? And of connections, we're talking about here, because this 18th chapter, of connecting it to the person. Right? Before that, we've connected it to the Brahman and Paramam. That's also the stages, but it should be the ones getting to the person. Right? Like that. That's the recommendation. If not, but you know that that's the direction, so you're moving that way. Okay. 1861. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Right, this is the fun point right here. Is God saying saying, you know, God's situated in your everyone's heart. So he's as Bhagavan is talking now about Paramatma, you know, but as if it's, you know, someone else, you know, like that. You know, or talking about himself in the third person, right? You know, I mean, which would be the case. But Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all, the supreme personality of Godhead, or he himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living entities. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds. But the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by the supersoul. Right? So in any case, whatever you do now, supersoul is there, and he'll arrange it, you know, and then you'll be acting according to that. So since he has to sanction, he knows that he has to sanction it, and that's how you'll be engaged. Why not do that connected to the Lord? It's going to go on anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's just like one astrologer was that means this is something I've heard from one astrologer. I've never heard one other astrologer ever mention it. But he says when it says in your chart you're going to lose money, he says don't think how can I not lose money? You're going to lose the money. The question is whether you're going to lose it. Or whether you're going to give it away for something and get benefit from there. You know, he said, you know, so when you see, you're going to lose money, then take what you got, yes. Do something with it, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's going to happen anyway. So now it's just a matter of do you get credit for connecting it to Krishna, and therefore it's glorious, or, you know, it's just another thing that the modes of nature did. Does that make sense? Yes. But you can check and see how much you're going to lose. You know how much to. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's very amazing that that there's Paramatma in the heart of the living entities. You know?
Would rather it be someone else, or Alfred E. Newman, maybe.
Is Paramatma Krishna conscious?
Is he is Krishna? I mean, are you conscious of yourself?
Sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm saying you can be conscious of yourself,
yeah,
right?
It's possible.
Right. So where does that come from? It means if you have that quality, that means Krishna has that quality. So that means Krishna can be conscious of himself. So Krishna knows who he is.
Yeah.
I remember one devotee came into Prabhupada's room and, you know, offered, oh, Prabhupada, you know, you're the greatest, you're the this, you're the pure devotee and all that. And Prabhupada just looked at him, you know, just said, I know who I am. Now what's the point? You know, if you're going to say all these nice things and then what? You know, it's kind of, what's the point? You know, so I was, you know, so it brings it down to, you know, you're going to take the instructions to do something with it, or you're just going to sit around and, you know, pleasantries, you know.
So is he conscious of what Gopal Krishna is doing in the spiritual world?
I mean, of all the activities that God does, what are the nicest activities?
Gopal Krishna.
Right, so that means all Vishnu Tattva expansions of Krishna are all devotees of Krishna. That's why he's the supreme personality of Godhead. They're equal in power, they're the same person, but that manifestation of those qualities, that's the supreme manifestation. So all Vishnu deities are devotees of Krishna.
But they didn't get to Krishna, but
they don't have to because they're Krishna. You know, it's just like the man's at the office. He doesn't think about home?
Sometimes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Depends on his marriage.
True. Things are going really well. Right? You know, so therefore, what happens at home is so much more interesting than what happens in the office. But he does the work in the office because it has to be done. Right? So God has to create, maintain, and destroy. You know, that's what he does. But it's not like that's for him is a big deal. You know, it's not like the little kids when they figure out that they drop something, it breaks. You know, oh, hey, this ouch. Wow, it broke. Like that. I've watched that. You know, somebody brought some tiles from Calcutta for the roof, you know, where Jai Patakman has his roof. So those are all waterproof tiles. But because there was a deadline when they needed them, they didn't dry them that long. So they were all there. They're ready. You could put them down. But they weren't fully hard. So if you dropped one, they would just shatter into a million pieces. Mm-hmm. So I watched this. Some of these, wow, check this. Wow, this one. You know, they get into a whole trip about it. Instead of just seeing one breaks and says, hey, what's wrong with these? They break, you know, 5, 10 of them, you know, to confirm in their mind that there's something wrong with them. So that's the mode of ignorance. So Krishna doesn't need to do that. You know, he knows if he breathes in, it's over. Hey, baby, did you see that? Check it out. Cool, no, yeah. She's going, yeah. Hey, do it again. No, he doesn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, he doesn't get enamored by it. We get enamored by it because we're not the controller. So if we ever are the controller, we're so overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying?
Like with bubble wrap.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, the destroyer. All these little universes are, you know, at my will, at my freedom. Yeah, like that. Yes, like that. No, so while we're there raging and thinking we're so great and all that, someone comes up from behind us and shoots us. So, you know, like that. So that makes sense.
Like that. It's really amazing that Krishna can do these all these things at once.
Yes. But so for him, that's normal. That's why being God for him is no big deal. That's just, he is God. You know, it's just like I say, you're a human being. And you go, wow. No, it's just normal. You know, you have two arms. You have a head. There are toes on your feet. Oh, really? Wow. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that bothers you. Does that make sense?
What is it?
You understand? So for him being God, that's not a big, that's why he says a spark of his splendor. That means one spark of all his unlimited potencies is being engaged to maintain the material phenomena. So that means one quarter of the creation is controlled by a spark. And there's unlimited universes, so it's even, you know, an unlimited part of a spark that runs this universe. Right, and this universe is so big and all that, so even more unlimited part of an unlimited part of a spark is just running around here. You know, and then there's your life, right? And then there's, you know, this moment in my life. You know, so it doesn't take much. Right? So for God, what's interesting is the love between him and the devotees. So that's what he thinks about. So naturally Paramatma will be thinking of that. Being God is just something you do. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's like that. You know how you say? You'd say it's like the perfectionist, the martial artist is sitting there drinking their tea, and somebody's attacking them, and they're fighting them off, and all that. I'm just drinking their tea. You know, like that. And does that make sense?
If he spills a little of his tea, then he gets angry.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like 20 of them or something.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, they don't get, it's just, it's not a big deal. It's so, you know, just, it's just the way he is. You know, we worry, no, I have to do my duty. No, he knows who he is and he does what he's supposed to do. But he doesn't have to do it. He only does what he's supposed to do because that's what he wants to do. So that's the thing Krishna says, I have nothing to do. You know, so it's just whatever he likes to do. It's that, but what he likes to do is what, you know, what is the basis of interaction, basis of relationship. He's perfect, so therefore anything he does is perfect. You know, so that idea of, you know, doing whatever I like to do, that'll make me happy, that comes from Krishna. But the point is he's perfect, so whatever he does is perfect. And whatever we do may not be exactly perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, jumping off a 14-story building and forgetting that in America they don't have a 13-story. So actually you jumped off a 13-story building. So you have one story too much rope. That's the difference. Is that okay? Yeah?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I read somewhere that the Jewel Swami says Paramatma is also in Vaikuntha.
Paramatma is in Vaikuntha, yeah. Because that's the Vaikuntha mood. But the Vaikuntha, Vishnu in Vaikuntha is a devotee of Krishna. They're all devotees of Krishna. Advaitacharya, he is, you know, he's devoted to, you know, Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme, but also to Balaram, to Nityananda. Because Nityananda is the first expansion, right? And then Mahanarayan, and then you have Mahavishnu. Right? So that connection is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Means, well, when there's, you know, some other evidence, even in the like in the Sri Sampradaya, in their major temples, which is, you know, you can, one would have to admit that they're into Vaikuntha worship, right? One wouldn't get a doubt. So in the room where the deities sleep, then there's pictures of Vrindavan, and, you know, it's set up like that. Because now he's away from everybody, you know, so he doesn't have to put on the whole profile. So now he can think about what he likes to think about. Right? And if you go there, when they go to take darshan, they chant Govinda, Govinda. Right? I asked, I said, why do you chant Govinda? It's a Vishnu temple, he's Vaikunthapati. He says, no, but he likes to remember his pastimes, you know, with the cows and all that. So to help in that, we say Govinda, and then he'll be pleased. Right? Does that make sense? And this is straight from the mouths of, you know, Sri Vaishnavas. Right? So it's not a problem. Okay. Therefore, all the activities of living energy are directed by this super soul. So it is directed anyway, so why not work with him? Right? Instead of just doing your own thing, since he's got to organize it anyway, why not work with him? 62. O Skayana Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and supreme and the supreme and eternal abode. Right? Because you can say supreme abode, but it says supreme and eternal. Because in the Upanishads, when it says talking about the supreme abode, right, then it doesn't say supreme eternal abode. Right? Because for Vaishnavas, they know the supreme abode is Goloka, so therefore it is eternal. The Vaikuntha planets, that is eternal. Right? But for the Brahmavadi, the supreme abode is the Brahman. Right? For the Karmakandi, the supreme abode is the heavenly planets. You know? For the yogi, it is Brahmaloka. Right? Does that make sense? So they can make the, but here it says supreme and eternal. Because supreme is everybody's got the supreme, but this is supreme and eternal because all the other ones are not eternal. Only Vaikuntha is eternal. A living entity should therefore surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart. And that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. So being miserable is more the attachment to the thing, not the experience. It's not that it's cold out, it's a miserable day. But one doesn't have to be miserable about the miserable day. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So if one is surrendered to the Lord, then one is absorbed in the Lord. So then there's no problem. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. So this is here. God's right there. And he still says, I've told you everything, now you do what you want to do. Because that's the point. It's between the Lord and the living entity. But the relationship has to be voluntary. Otherwise, what's the meaning? It's not pleasing to the Lord if it's not voluntary. Does that make sense?
Prabhupada said in one lecture, he said that whenever Krishna, he gives something, he doesn't take it back. So he gave the living entities free will.
Yeah.
So it's not to.
Yeah,
well, he says not as Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. No, he doesn't take it back. Now you use it properly or you don't use it properly, but it's yours. You know. In other words, he's given a gift, and so that's the way it works. Now if you want his mercy, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Then you use it properly. You know, so you won't take that back, but you won't get any more. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, in other words, you deliberated on by intelligence as far as intelligence goes, but at some point then it's just one has to surrender because it's personal, it's a relationship. So it's not difficult that in the beginning that there is so many aspects of deliberation and all that, so we shouldn't think that deliberation is artificial. No, it means that's okay. Like that. But so for this case of the living entity being in the material platform or the spiritual platform, that's not to the Lord's benefit. That's to the living entity's benefit, because the Lord is already spiritually situated. He is spiritual. Right, he is the source of spiritual. Right? So it's not a matter of that he gets benefited by the living entity getting liberated. No, the living entity gets benefited. Right, because we're talking tattva here. Right, God doesn't need God's godness is not improved by the living entity being liberated or not. He's still God anyway. Right. But when the living entity connects himself to the Lord, then his situation is improved. Right? Now you have the relationship between the Lord and the devotee. That's another thing, but that's not what's being discussed. Does that make sense? So therefore, using the intelligence is the best way to accept the instruction. You use the intelligence, apply it, right? And then be convinced, right? And surrender. Bas, yes. 1864. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. So he's given before all the knowledge and gotten to more confidential that he's talking about there's the Lord. Right? You're doing the work for the Supreme, but then that Supreme is the person. Right? Then the element, devotion. Right, he has entered. He is to be found everywhere, and then that devotion, right, and then you're bringing it more and more close. So here he's talking about how the super soul is in your heart. You can see here, you work with him, you know, like this kind of thing. So that's even more confidential. So now, having said all that, now he's going to say the most confidential, right? Because the chapter is confidential knowledge, right? So now he's going to give the most confidential, right? So, 65. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Right? So now again, these four. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. So if one does that, then without fail, one will come to Krishna. Right? And he's promising this. Right.
So it's like a natural progression. Think of me, then you become this devotee.
Yeah.
If you're this devotee, then you will start worshipping, and if you worship him, then you will.
Yeah, like that you could say.
Naturally you will come.
Yeah, but you can also do these all at once. Mm-hmm. As a devotee thinking of Krishna, you're worshipping and offering. Mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? So stages are there in one way, but at the same time, they can all be happening at once. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're learning something, so you learn what's the simplest thing that you can grasp. Then you learn the next thing, then the next thing, then the next thing. Then when you have learned all of them, you do them all at once, wherever necessary. Right? So that's why he sees 18th chapter. It's a summary of whatever has been in the whole rest of the book. Right? But now you've gone into detailed study. In the second chapter, it's a summary of everything in the book, but just to familiarize yourself with what's there. Right? Then third chapter to 17th, that's detail. Does that make sense? Like that. And now having known that detail, now the summary can be much more in-depth. So the 18th chapter, the summary is much more deep than the second chapter. Not that the subject matter is any different, just the presentation.
It's more technical?
That is, it's more, it's means that the second chapter doesn't take as much to explain it. You can just say there's the soul and this and that. Then we'll get into detail. But here is that unless you understand what thinking of him means or being a devotee or worshipping or offering, then it won't make sense. But putting that all together, then you get a better understanding. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official mediator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna.
Meditator?
Yeah, meditator.
Mediator.
I was trying to think, how would you be mediating between you and the material energy? Yeah, meditator. One should not become an official meditator. Right? Because you just think, but you're not serving. Because an official meditator only meditates. He doesn't do anything. Right? Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken by Arjuna because he is a dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. Okay, so the point is just becoming a pure devotee and always thinking and acting for Krishna. Right? In other words, the body, the mind, the words are always connected to Krishna. You know, if that's done on the platform pure devotion, that's the most confidential knowledge. 1866. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-detachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion, right? Because religion means what's the inherent nature of something, right? So knowledge of Brahman, the inherent nature of Brahman, supreme Brahman, knowledge of the super soul, you're like, that doesn't change. Knowledge of the soul, knowledge of different kinds of orders and statuses, those don't change, right? They have their nature. Renounced order, it has its nature. You know, knowledge of non-detachment, non-attachment, the knowledge of non-detachment. Yes. We follow non-detachment yoga. Right? So those are religions. So these are different aspects. But that one is absorbed in that, and that's the focal point, that's what needs to be given up. It has to be that Krishna is the focal point. And all these are just different elements that you use to in one service. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions. For the Lord personally promises to protect him. Right? Because you're worried now here in protection. If I give up Dharma, then Dharma is protecting one. Right? So if I give up Dharma, then how will I be protected? Krishna is saying he'll personally protect you. Right? Because the point is you're following Dharma to get a perfection. Right? So you give up following a Dharma to obtain perfection and just surrender to him as a person. Does that make sense?
It's like is Dharmaraj is
that's Yamaraj.
Yamaraj, and he's in charge of Dharma.
He's in charge of, you could say, seeing that according to if people have followed or not.
Yeah.
But it's like people following Dharma here, that's Manu's business. But he's the judge, so he knows Dharma the best. Because you may know it nicely or not, but you can still practice. But you can't give judgment unless you know it well. Okay, now lesson 37. Adhikarna, yeah, which is... Oh no, this is the conclusion now. Okay. No, but you're missing the whole point. This is all to be applied in what everything that's been studied before. So again, it comes down to one's following Varnashram because it's good, it's nice, it's, you know, all those kind of things. Right? But no, one is simply following Varnashram because it pleases God. That means you've surrendered to God. Therefore, you follow his instruction. He's given Varnashram. Right? You know what I'm saying? The problem is that they apply this without applying the teachings that came before it. You know? So therefore, it'll be a problem. Is that okay? Lesson 37. In all scriptures, therefore, the only aim is how to attain Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this is the conclusion of this point, that anyone can attain to Godhead by following their occupational duty. Right? 4.11. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence, as well as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Right? So everyone's searching for Krishna because you're trying to get... A living entity is going to do something because it gives them a satisfaction. Right? So what they're looking for is Krishna because that thing that they're dealing with is not going to give the satisfaction. That's the problem, right? Because they try to become satisfied from it, but they don't. Right? So they keep searching. Does that make sense? And according to the modes, then you have a tendency to search in that particular direction. Right? So one can partially understand, you know, Krishna through the Brahma Jyoti and the Paramatma, right? But ultimately, one has to surrender to know him as a person. We're saying these other processes are how to elevate yourself out of the material world. But the point is you get into the spiritual world because you have an attraction to Krishna. Does that make sense? They're both going in the same direction. That's why they're compatible. That's why Prabhupada is saying that one is leaning on the impersonal, but it's not a problem because it's going in the same direction. You know what I'm saying? You know, you catch a ride with somebody going somewhere, right? And so they're going there for another purpose, but you're going there to serve Krishna. So, but it's, you know what I'm saying? You're going the same direction. It's not a problem. So the element of you're trying to free yourself of material attachment, it's not a problem. It's not opposed to devotional service, because to be attached to Krishna means you have to not be attached to Maya. So getting rid of your attachments to Maya are in the line of devotional service, but you have to make sure you understand that devotional service still is separate from that. Even though it's useful, it's still separate. You know what I'm saying? The pots and the spoon and the fire are very useful in cooking, but they themselves aren't the cooking. Does that make sense? So only his pure devotees, they fully realize Krishna. Right? Nobody else does. They get, you know, part here, part there, but they never actually, it never actually works out. Because God's beyond intelligence, beyond the, you know, feeling, material feelings and senses and all that. So he can't be found. You know what I'm saying? If he's God, that means he has to be beyond all this, because he's the source of it. So how would using something that's of the source of this, how would you find out? You know what I'm saying? That would be like taking a part off the car, and then from studying that you can understand who made the car. Does that make sense? Yeah? Like that. It's not going to work.
Not like it.
Yeah, and now even if you have the little part of the car that says Ferrari on it, by taking that and putting it under an ion microscope and putting different chemicals on it and trying to figure out like that, or, you know, dropping it and seeing how, you know, quickly it drops, going up on a building that leans a little bit and then dropping it. You know, it's not going to, you're not still not going to work out who the person is. Does that make sense?
Keeps you busy though.
Keeps you very busy. I mean, all the living entities that are here, there's unlimited them, and they're all very busy. And that's just what we're in contact with. There's more we don't even know about. I think they came across, saw some article, you know, sometime back, that they were doing some research, and there's these sea worms. They always took it that ants were the most living entities on the planet. You know, in other words, the volume of living entities, who, you know, and if you put them all together, they weigh the most, were the ants. But then they figured out, no, there's way more sea worms. And they're underneath the dirt, you know. So you don't, they're not like floating in the water, because they're underneath the dirt. And because it's so big, and the water area, I think, is bigger than the land surface, and that, and so there's, you know, the amount of sea worms is like.
So that changes everything.
Yeah, it changes everything. That's it. Yeah, you know, whole concept and all that.
They have probably seen the Kriti Pajan River yet.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't even have the dirt, right? It's
straight worms.
Yeah.
On the lake.
Yeah. Pure.
So have they been like with submarines across the whole seabed? I mean,
who knows, but that's just, you know, what they've come up with. You know.
That would keep them busy.
Yeah, that would keep them busy. And then all the people in the submarine, in the next life, they could all be sea worms.
You know? The circle is complete.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to listen to them so much.
True. True.
In one of his purposes, Fritz Cantor Srila Prabhupada said and about the Himalayas and all these hills and, you know, the mountains. And he said the scientists, they say that the height and how many mountains are there. And Srila Prabhupada said, and I'm not sure they can calculate it because it's too much work. Who can do this? So the sea worms is the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, they'll just do a little something like that and say, well, there's this many.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
statistics.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to calculate. If it's a fly from India, like the Kazakhstan, you actually fly over the Himalayas. And it just keeps going and going. You're flying for hours and hours and hours. And it's just solid snow.
And he was flying and saw the Himalayas. And that's what he says.
Yeah, yeah. Because they just make it sound like there's a couple of mountains and there's Everest. Yeah. No, it's...
I think they're all... Over 200 peaks that are more than 8 kilometers, like Everest, something like that.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, I don't know how that, but there. But anyway.
Yeah, so they say, yeah, K1, K2, K800.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, no, it's big. It's very, very big.
Big.
As all surrender unto me, I will reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pita. In other words, there's only one path. Right? Everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence, and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particle of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. So the atom is the smallest fragment, you know, means indivisible fragment of material energy. And Krishna, as Paramatma, is inside that. Because otherwise it has to act. It means these atoms have to come together, right? And form, you know, different
structures,
yes. So how do they have the potency to do that? Right? That's because Paramatma is there.
Chance?
Yeah. Could be chance. Also, it could by chance not be chance. You know, according to the thing of chance, it could also be, what do they call it? Divine?
Intelligent design.
Yeah, intelligent design. Like that. It could also be that, by chance. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. So it means as they surrender, it's the same. You know, so it's equal. So someone has more in this way, he reciprocates more in that way. Someone has more in another way, then he reciprocates more there. So it's whatever is their place, their point of surrender, that's where he reciprocates. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Right? So they only actually get the feeling of annihilation, because otherwise later then the same spiritual spark comes out and the, you know, it's that blade of grass on the sidewalk that those in the know step on. Hey, Mayavadi. Okay. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties. As the Yajneshvara. Right? In other words, they perform the yajna, the sacrifice, and then they get the results. So Krishna is also giving that. So the devotees, as they surrender to the impersonalist, you know, they surrender to him, but, you know, not, they don't understand anything more than Brahman. They surrender to him as Brahman. They get Brahman. The karmis, then they perform their work. He is the Yajneshvara, the Lord of Yajna, so he gives the results. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Right? They're not a different path. We think, well, there's a path of karma, capital. No, it's the same path. Right? There's just the physical, the intellectual, all these different levels of it.
Yeah, so it is different levels, you could say. That.
Yeah, because one will take you up to a certain level, another one, another, like this. So, but the point is, if you're engaged in Krishna's service, then you're engaging whatever's there. So these different elements, it doesn't matter what you're taking from. You know what I'm saying? You started at the counter. And now you're at the kitchen. I mean, now you're at the stove. But then you need something. You go back to the counter. It's not that, oh no, he's regressing, you know, and now it's going to take an extra 30 seconds to finish cooking because he left the cooking, you know, like that. And then, oh no, he's going to the refrigerator. Oh my God. And then 3 minutes later, you know, it doesn't, like, you know, it turns back. And when he comes back, you know, it's where he left it. It's kind of like, what? You know, like that. So, in this case, an unwatched pot never boils.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect. Right? Because they're the same path. So anything less than pure Krishna consciousness won't get you to the end of the path. It'll get you somewhere in between. Right? As is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruit of results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So whatever the stage you are at, still worship the Supreme Lord and move forward on that, understanding that worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate, you know, position. Yes.
Mars, whenever we hear this and it's a relief, that, you know, whatever condition you're in, then you can engage, and, you know, we're on the path to Krishna consciousness, and the living entity is eternal, so that means permanent, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to go away.
But what where does the, because Rupa Goswami says patience, right? And he's having patience and confidence. So like one is used to, you know, in the age of microwaves and so on like that, you know, one is used to things happening, you know, like in so where does the patience
you have to wait 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that they're working on microwaves that'll do the same thing in 30 seconds. Yeah. Do not leave the door open when you nuke your preparation. Does that make sense? You have to wait 2 minutes. You have to wait 5 seconds for that page to load. All that's you know, patience.
You could be on Facebook for those 5 seconds,
yeah.
But you're not.
I think some people are. Okay. They have 2 screens.
Yes.
So you have to be patient. I mean, anything you want, you have to be patient. You know, otherwise it's like the kid in the back seat. Right?
Are we there yet?
Yeah, are we there yet? No. Gotta be another one. Are we there yet? It's only been 10 seconds. Are we there yet? 5. You know what I'm saying? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Shranyatai Gaurupinoda ki.